Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for kids. We thank you for the gifts that you give them, the talents that you give them, and God, the heart that you give them just to praise you and serve you. And we saw that over and over and over again this past week, God, and here in this VBS celebration week, God, we just are so in awe of all that you did over this past week, and we are so grateful for the ways that you moved and the ways that you continue to move. And so, God, as we continue on in our service here today, Father, I just pray that ultimately, Lord, that you would be the one who would speak right now, God. I pray that you would just blow us away with who you are and just your awesomeness and also just your love for each and every one of us, God. And Father, we just pray that we'd walk away today with just a bigger view of who you are. And so we love you, Father. We thank you. And we ask all this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can have a seat, and it's so great to be with you. My name is Chris Ward. I am the teaching pastor on staff here at Friends Church, and it's so awesome to be with you here on this VBS weekend. And as we continue on in our service, we're going to do something right now that we like to do every time we gather together, and that is we like to open up the Bible, which we believe is God's word to us, and we like to see what it has to say to us. So if you brought your Bibles here today, you can grab them and turn to Psalm chapter 8 is where we're going to be today. If you didn't bring your Bible, you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Actually, all the words I'm going to read, they're going to be on the screen. But for those of you who are following along in your Bible, we are in Psalm chapter 8. And as you find your place there, you know, as you heard, we just had a really big week this past week. I got the opportunity to come into this place and sit in and see some of what was going on. And it was awesome to see all these kids. This place was packed. It smelled like a water park every single day. And I mean that in the best way. But it was just so great to see all the things that God did this past week. And here's what I want to let you know, okay? We should not be surprised that God did so many big things this past week. And the reason why is quite simply, we have a big God. We do. We have a big God. In fact, on the count of three, I want you to say that statement with me, okay? On the count of three, say, we have a big God. Ready? One, two, three. We have a big God. Let's try it again. Ready? One, two, three. We have a big God. Last time, but I only want the kids to say it this time. And kids, I was here this past week and I heard how loud you can yell, okay? So I want to hear that right now. On the count of three, we have a big God. Ready? One, two, three. We have a big God. Oh, that was awesome. We have a big God. We do. And that is what we saw this past week. And actually, speaking of our big God, it reminds me of a question that I got recently. You know, our theme of VBS was mission space. Our kids went to space and back this past week. And that reminds me of a question I got a few weeks ago that I'd never been asked before as a pastor. And the question was this. Someone came up to me and they said, Pastor Chris, they said, why would God create a whole universe, a whole space, if we as human beings just live in one little tiny portion of it? Why would God create this enormous universe if we as human beings just live in one tiny fraction of it? And that is an incredible question, because the reality is that we do live in a big, enormous universe. I know sometimes it feels like our earth is big, and maybe it is, but just so you know, our earth is nothing compared to what else exists out there. For example, our earth is nothing compared to our own sun. We're gonna put a picture on the screen that compares the size of our earth to our sun. And you see the sun in the middle right there, and then you see that little dot over in the corner there. That is the size of our earth in comparison to our sun. In fact, scientists estimate that it would take 1.3 million earths to fill up our sun. That's how many earths could fit in our sun. So our earth is nothing compared to just our sun. But you know what? Our universe is even bigger than that. Because as I'm sure many of you know, our Earth and our sun, it's a part of a galaxy known as the Milky Way galaxy. And we'll put another picture on the screen. This is a representation of the Milky Way galaxy. And you see all those lights in there? What do you think all those lights are? Those are other suns. Those are other stars. And do you know how many stars scientists think are just in the Milky Way galaxy? Well, I looked it up this past week. It's anywhere from 100 billion to 400 billion stars just in our Milky Way galaxy. So our Earth is nothing compared to our galaxy. But guess what? The universe is even bigger than that because, as you probably know, the Milky Way galaxy is one of just several galaxies that exist in our universe. In fact, do you know how many galaxies scientists estimate exist in our universe? This will blow you away. Scientists estimate that there are anywhere from 100 billion to 200 billion galaxies in our universe. That's the number one or the number two with 10 zeros after it. That's more galaxies than there are Avengers movies. And there are a lot of Avengers movies. Our Earth, we ourselves are nothing compared to what else exists in the universe. So why would God create this huge, giant, enormous universe if we as human beings occupy just one little tiny eensy-weensy bit of it? Well, actually, the Bible gives us the answer to that question. And the answer that the Bible gives us to that question is this. It's because our big universe is meant to give us a picture of our big God. It's because our big universe is meant to give us a picture of our big God. That's why. And that's exactly what verse 1 of Psalm chapter 8 tells us. So Psalm 8 in our Bible is, just so you know, it's a poem, okay? And it was originally written by a man by the name of David. And David, among other things, he was a shepherd. And what that means is that David spent a lot of time outside at night, looking up at the night sky. In fact, it's not unrealistic to think that there may be some times when David saw an image, not unlike the image we're going to put on the screen behind me. This is an actual picture of the night sky. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? And one day, it seems, as David was looking out at that night sky and reflecting on it, he wrote the following, Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. He said, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And here's the key phrase. He says, "You have set your glory in the heavens." And that last phrase right there, what that means is David is saying there, God, when I look at the heavens, and when I see all the stars, and I see how amazing it is, I get a picture of how amazing you are. When I look at the night sky, and I see that there is no end to it, I get a picture of the fact that there is no end to you. And that's, in fact, what that word majestic at the beginning of verse 1 means there. The word that David uses there is a word that has within it a word that means wide and high and great. And what David is saying there is he's saying that the wideness and the greatness and the vastness of our universe gives us a picture of the wideness and the greatness and the vastness of our God. Our big universe is meant to give us a picture of our big God. And just so you know, David is not the only person to recognize this. Speaking of space and astronauts, I don't know if any of you know the name John Glenn. He was one of our first astronauts. In fact, he was the first person to orbit the Earth in a spaceship. And I want you to listen to what he said after one of his times in space. He said this. He said, "To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God, to me, is impossible. To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God, to me, is impossible." And what I love about that quote is here in this moment when the entire world was focused on John Glenn in outer space, what was John Glenn focused on? He was focused on God. And he saw God and how beautiful God's creation was. You know, one of my favorite things about VBS is seeing all the artwork and all the creation that my kids brought home every single day. How many of you brought home Fuzzle Puffs this past week? Yeah, those Fuzzle Puffs were pretty amazing, right? And my daughter brought home this cross that was just beautiful. And it's so amazing because when I look at all these pieces of artwork, one of the things I can tell immediately is that those pieces of artwork, they didn't just happen. They weren't just accidents. They weren't the result of some big bang or something like that. No, an artist created those things. Hands created those things. Well, that's what John Glenn determined when he looked out at our universe. And that's what David determined as well. I love what David says in verse 3 of Psalm 8. He says this. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." And I love that phrase in the middle there where David calls the heavens the work of your fingers. And what David is saying there is he's saying that our God is an artist. That it's so clear as we look out at space that it is God who created and put together everything that we see. In fact, that phrase, work of your fingers, it reminds me of a picture of something that actually exists in our universe. We'll put this picture on the screen. This picture you're going to see, this is a picture of something that is called a nebula. And a nebula is like a cloud in space. And what does that nebula, what does that look like to you? Does it look like a hand? Does it look like fingers? Well, that's actually called the Fingers of God Nebula, or sometimes it's called the Pillars of Creation. And let me ask you a question about that. Is there any way to look at that and not see the work of an artist in that? An artist created that. An artist that is far bigger than anything in our universe, and that artist is our God. So that's the reason why God created such a big universe. It is meant to give us a picture of how big our God really is. But do you want to know what is just as amazing as how big our God is? It's that our big God actually wants to include us in what he does. It's that our big God has a plan for each and every one of us here on this earth. And that is exactly what I have asked our next gen student pastor, Blake Musterman, to come up and talk a little bit to you about right now. So would you do me a favor? Would you give a very warm welcome to Pastor Blake as he takes the stage?
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. How are we doing? Oh, I know you guys are so tired of yelling. It's okay. We're going to have you do it just once more, one more time. But like Chris said, my name is Blake. I'm the students pastor here at Friends, and it's a joy to be celebrating VBS weekend with you guys. Now, but when we kick off right now, I've got two questions for you. The first one is this. Have you ever thought about what you want to be when you grow up? All the kids in the room thinking about that. Adults in the room, have you ever thought about that? What you wanted to be when you grew up? Maybe for some of us, we've thought about we want to be a professional athlete. Maybe for others of us, we want to be a firefighter or a veterinarian or maybe even a teacher. Or we wanted to follow in our parents' footsteps at the job they were doing. Whatever it is, there's a ton of things that come to our mind when we think about what we want to be when we grow up. And if you didn't scream enough, I'm going to have you scream one more time. So on the count of three, I want you to think about what is the thing that you thought you would be or wanted to be when you grow up. And on the count of three, you're going to yell it out, and we're going to try and hear what everyone has to say, okay? One, two, three. Let's hear it. That was amazing. Thank you. The point is, most of us have thought about that at some point or another. My second question for us tonight is a little more deep. Have you ever thought about what you think you'll never be when you grow up? Have you ever thought about what you will never be when you grow up? I'll never be a professional athlete because I am very uncoordinated. I will never be working with money because I am terrible at math. I will never be an astronaut because the space is terrifying. I will never be this because blank. Now, we won't scream this one out together, but I'm willing to bet there's some things that actually came to our minds when we thought about what something that we would never be when we grow up. In our Bibles, God actually has given us many stories of people over the years, both guys and both girls, who ended up becoming people they never thought they'd become and who did things they never thought they would ever do. One such story in Scripture is that of Jesus' disciple, Peter. He's a character a lot of us are familiar with in our Bibles because there are some pretty amazing stories of Peter in there. We find that he actually walks on water with Jesus. We read that he becomes the leader of the apostles, of the disciples, and he's their spokesperson to Jesus. And we read that he's the very first disciple who understood that Jesus was God himself, the Messiah. So today, thousands of years later, we remember Peter as this really great and really important disciple of Jesus. But did you know he wasn't always this really important spiritual disciple? When he's first introduced to us in our Bibles, we find out that he's actually a humble fisherman. He's running a fishing business with his brother and a few friends, just catching fish, just living life. Until one day, Jesus invited all of them to follow him on an adventure of a lifetime. So they all say yes to this, and after they say yes to this, there comes a really important moment in Peter's life where he gets a glimpse of God's plan for his own life. And so in Matthew chapter 16, we find this important story, this moment in Peter's life, and it says this. You can follow along on the screens. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" The disciples replied, "Some say, Jesus, you're John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. And still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you," Jesus asked the disciples, "who do you guys say I am?" Then Peter answered Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied to him, "Blessed are you, Peter, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never overcome it. In this story, Jesus asked all his disciples a super important question. He asked them, who am I? And Peter answers correctly. He tells Jesus that he is God. And after he answers that question, Jesus hits him with something I'm sure he never thought he'd ever hear. Jesus tells Peter, you're going to be a leader in the church. You are going to have authority in the church. Can you imagine being in Peter's shoes saying, hearing from God himself, here's my plan for your life. You are going to go lead the church. It's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty huge moment in Peter's life. And there's one interesting note about this is that at this point in history, the church didn't even exist yet. There was just Jesus and there was just the disciples. So Jesus is not only telling Peter his plans for his life, but he's extending another invitation to go on an adventure. An invitation for an adventure that Peter never would have imagined for himself while he was a humble fisherman. Earlier this week, I was talking with a member of our staff who I don't want to embarrass, I don't want to put them on the spot, but they said this, it's always the kids you never think will become pastors who become pastors. It's Tom. Tom's a great guy. Now, do you want to guess the kid that he was not so subtly referring to? Do you want to guess who that was that he was talking about? He was talking about yours truly, me. See, Tom was one of my youth pastors growing up here at this church. And he knew me as a crazy and annoying student, basically. He knew me as a kid that would push chairs in the back of people's legs during worship. He knew me as someone who would run around in service or yell terrible things. He knew me as a kid who would never in a million years become a pastor. And for reference, I wanted to give you guys an understanding of the Blake Tom saw, the Blake Tom knew. There's a photo of me from 2007 that I won't throw up yet, but I need you to promise me when you see it that you'll only laugh a little bit, okay? This is 2007 Blake, and for all the parents in the room, I want you to see that this gives you hope for your kids in the future, okay, for how far they can come. So this is 2007 Blake up on the screen. It's so blurry because that was back when MySpace existed, and yes, those are fingerless gloves that I'm wearing. That is 2007 Blake. Now, do you want to know why I'm standing here talking to you as a pastor today? It's the very same reason we have some pretty important stories of Peter in our Bibles. I'm standing up here as a pastor today because I've said yes to Jesus over and over again in my life. It's been a wild journey, an unexpected journey, a journey with twists and turns and things I didn't think Jesus would ask me to do, but it's been a journey that I've loved every minute of. It's been an absolute adventure. So much so that this is a photo of me from a couple months ago, having graduated seminary, paying money to learn about God, which is crazy with a master's degree. Now, thank you, I appreciate that. Now, if you would have asked 2007 Blake on the left-hand side, if he would ever become a pastor, he probably would have kicked you in the shin and said, no way. However, 2023 Blake, on the right-hand side, who's standing in front of you today, would absolutely tell you that following Jesus and saying yes to him over and over and over again every single day has been the best adventure I have ever been on my entire life, and I'm sure some of you can attest to that as well. I could have never imagined or predicted in 2007 what I'm doing now. It's up there on the list of things that I never thought I would do or be or any of that. But the beautiful thing about that is God knew. God knew this was out in front. You see, God has a plan for your life, and he's looking forward to you saying yes and to you trusting him with where he wants to take you and who he wants you to become. And I'll be honest and I'll say that I can't stand up here and tell you exactly what that plan looks like. I'm not Jesus. But what I certainly can tell you is that it starts by simply saying yes to him and trusting him with your life and your direction each and every single day. You see, after Jesus told Peter that he would become a leader of the church, Peter had some ups and he had some downs. There was moments where Peter looked like he was going to be this awesome, great leader of the church. He was going to fulfill exactly what Jesus said. And there were some moments where it looked like Peter would be nothing close to that, where he would absolutely fail at that. But he kept coming back. And he kept saying yes to Jesus. And Peter went on to help start the church, to lead thousands of people to faith in Jesus, and he even performed miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not too shabby for a fisherman. You see, Jesus extends the same invitation for you to join him on this adventure of a lifetime. The question you have in front of you today, every single day, is will you take him up on that adventure? So let's welcome back Pastor Chris as we close out our time together.
Can we thank Blake? Yeah. I am so glad that there was not social media when I was a kid, because I would not want you to see any of those pictures that existed of me. You know, what Blake talked about is so unbelievably important, because going back to what we talked about earlier, knowing how big our God is, that may tempt us to ask a question to ourselves. And the question is this: well, if we believe in a God who is big enough to create the universe, then who am I to him, right? If we believe in a God who is big enough to create the universe, then how in the world could that God care about me? And in fact, that is the exact question that David himself wrestled with. Going back to Psalm 8, right after David talks about how our big universe is meant to give us a picture of our big God, David asked this question, Psalm 8, verse 4. We'll put it on the screen. He says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" And what David is saying here is he's saying, how could such a big God care about human beings like us? But you see, that is the amazing thing about our God. And that's what Blake just shared with you. It's that not only do we believe in a God who is bigger than anything that we can imagine, but we also believe in what we call a personal God, which means that we believe in a God who loves each one of us individually. And we believe in a God who has a plan for each one of us personally. But what you need to understand here today is that the first step in finding out what that plan is you need to say yes to God. And you do that by inviting his son Jesus into your life. You see, at this church, we believe in our ABCs. And what I mean by is this: we believe, first of all, A, that we have to admit and we have to confess that there are times when we have not done what it is that God wants us to do. But then B, we have to believe that Jesus died on the cross to take upon himself the punishment for those times that we didn't do what God wanted us to do. And we have to believe that not only did Jesus do that, but he raised from the dead 3 days later. And then C, we have to commit to follow this Jesus. And if we do that, then we believe that we can invite Jesus into our heart. We can invite Jesus into our life, and we enter into a relationship with God, and we get to spend forever with him, and we get to find out the plan that God has for us here in this life. And as you heard from Tom earlier, 311 kids decided that for the first time this past week. And in just a moment, we're going to see some of them make a public declaration of that by being baptized here today, by being immersed in this water, which we believe is a symbol of the new life that we receive when we put our faith in Jesus. But here's what I want to let you know here today, okay? This Jesus, he's not just for kids. You adults, you parents, I want to let you know that this Jesus, he is for everybody. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, hey, I want to know this God, I want to know this Jesus, you can. Just follow your ABCs and invite him into your life. And if you do that, and you want to make that decision today, just so you know, you can even get baptized here today. You see, this baptism right here, it's not just for people who have signed up. This is for anybody. It's for anybody who has put their faith in Jesus and not yet been baptized. And if that describes you and you want to get baptized here today, we want to make that possible. All you have to do is come forward at the end of the service right over here, and there are people who can help you out with that. And let me tell you this, okay? The water is really warm. We heat it. We do. And not only that, but we give you a t-shirt and we give you a towel so you don't have to worry about driving home wet. We want to make it as easy as we possibly can. But here's what I want to let you know, okay? How amazing is it, you guys? How amazing is it that our God, that who is big enough to create the universe and all those amazing things that we saw earlier, he's also personal enough and loving enough to know each and every one of us, to want us to be in relationship with him and to have a plan for each and every one of us. Don't you want to know a God like that? Invite Jesus into your life and you can. And to you kids here today, let me say this, okay? If you were here this past week at VBS and you didn't make that decision to invite Jesus into your life, I want to let you know it's not too late. You can make that decision right now. And you can even be baptized here today. Just talk to your mom and dad, and then if they say yes, you can come down over here, and then we can talk to you about being baptized. But here's what we're going to do right now, okay? We are going to celebrate in this place. The Bible tells us that every single time someone puts their faith in Jesus, there is a celebration in heaven among God and his angels, and we want a picture of heaven on earth right now here today, okay? So, in just a second, well, here's what I ask you to do, actually. Would you stand with me right now? And in just a second, what you're going to see is you're going to see people come over here and they're going to get dunked. They're going to get immersed here in this water. And here's what I'd ask you to do. When they come out of this water, I want you to cheer, okay? I want you to hoot. I want you to holler. I want you to encourage these people. And this is important. I want you to cheer just as loudly as for the last person who gets baptized here today as you do for the first person, okay? Because every single decision is important. And as I said, if you didn't plan to get baptized here today, but you want to, all you have to do is go down that aisle right there and someone will be able to help you out. But are you ready to celebrate here today, Friends Church? Let's try that again. Are you ready to celebrate? Well, let's celebrate our God together.